greet you this morning in Jesus' name. Glad to be back with you again today. I want to bring greetings to you from India and also from Germany. Well, I was talking with some of the people in the Philippines and different places, they all send their greetings to you there from there also. Does anyone have anything they'd like to share with us this morning before we begin? Father, Lord, we come before you this morning and we just want to thank you, God, for your goodness and for your mercy to us, Lord. Father, we just ask that you would help us, Lord, to be faithful to you. And Lord, we just ask that you would bless us. Give us wisdom this morning as we open your word, Father. Help us to be faithful to you again, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Again, just bring greetings to you. May God's grace, His leading, the grace that brings salvation, that would teach us to deny ungodliness and worldly lust, that we might live righteously, soberly, and godly in this present world, be with you. That's probably one of the most precious gifts we have, is the grace of God. I'm not talking about the cheap grace that the world's selling, peddling. I'm talking about the grace of God that would constantly be prodding us to deny the ungodliness in this world and teaching us to live righteously and soberly and godly in this world. Pray that grace would be with each one of us as we work out our salvation with fear and trembling as we travel through this life. This morning, I want to start in 1 Peter. Well, 2 Peter. Chapter 3, verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. want to stop there. Just reading that passage as a foundation this morning. Of where our focus in life should be. All of these things around us will be dissolved. This earth will melt with a fervent heat. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Everything around us is going to be destroyed. It's going to melt with fervent heat. Everything that's in this world is going to just melt. It's going to be gone one of these days. I want us just to remember that as we travel through this life. Men have struggled. You look back through history and see how people struggle to survive and to work and to build. And they die. And leave everything behind here. And in the end, all of it will perish away anyway. Our purpose and our goal in life is to prepare ourselves to be ready for that great day. That we would have nothing in our possession that would even faintly, that we would like to hold on to in this life, because it's all going to be gone. Whenever I became awakened and God's grace began to speak to me and I began to hear it, I had felt the condemnation because I was rejecting listening to God. Whenever I was awakened, and I began to read this book with eyes searching for what God required and what He wanted, He began to show me who I was. And He began to show me what it was in my life that was separating me from Him. And I was amazed. Whenever I began to truly seek the Lord, at what it was that was separating me from God. I had always thought and always been taught, grew up in church all of my life. And there were just some things that Christians didn't do. And here I had gotten involved in some of those things. And I felt terrible about it. And I knew they were wrong, and they were wrong. But as I began to open the book God began to show me that that wasn't the problem in my life. That the problem in my life was not all those bad things that we would look upon as being sinful and self-destructive. We met with people this week, and it was a blessing to point out that selfishness is not just those black sins that we would label as really bad. Selfishness is a desire for us to make ourselves happy, whether in this life or in the next. Doesn't matter what else happens in the world, just so I wind up happy. Just so that I can wind up pleasing myself. That is not what you and I were created for. In this life or the next, you and I were created to serve God and to please Him and to make Him happy. And it was just such a blessing to be able to share with these people and show them so many ways that many of the teachings that are going on in this world are so upside down. And it was just a blessing because it became clear to me and to them of how many things that were just so upside down. For instance, we talked about the miracles of Jesus. People followed Jesus because what He could do for them. Whenever He came doing miracles, He came as a servant to show people that He was here to teach people how to be a servant, to show people the way of being a servant. And so He helped people. But instead of seeing this man humbling himself, seeing God coming down from heaven and humbling Himself and being a servant to show us how to humble ourselves and be servants, these selfish, wicked people looked and saw, there's a better God that I can serve. Let's go and see what this God can do for me. Let's go see what this God can do for us. I've heard He's healing people. Let's go see if this God can heal us. This God's feeding people. Let's go see if this God will feed us. And many people left the gods that weren't working for them and found one that would. That's selfishness. That's humanism. That's seeking what God can do for me instead of what I can do for God. Some people can see past the realm of this life and they see, well, we are going to spend eternity somewhere. So I think I'll serve the God that gives me the best shot at eternity. And so they live clean lives, doing many things that are good, hoping that not just in this life, but after this life is over, that they will be received, and so that they can be happy in the next life. The root of the whole thing is living for myself. Some people are just better planners than others at living for themselves. Some people look a little further ahead at planning to make themselves happy, instead of seeing who Christ was. He came as a servant to serve, to show us how. To put others first. And to live for others. To live for the Lord. So it isn't those things that just those bad things that we do that he's concerned about. People have the idea, well, what's wrong with this or what's wrong with that? Could be that everything that we do, there's something wrong with, whether it's good or bad. Because it's all about making me happy instead of making God happy. So as I began to seek the Lord, I opened the Bible and it wasn't the things that I had always thought that I should quit doing, that I found when I opened the Bible. The Word of God is a sword, and it's sharp, and it's powerful, and it's two-edged. It cuts both directions. And as I began to read the Bible, I began to see that God was trying to show himself to this selfish man that was living for himself. I want to read several verses here. You don't have to go very far. In fact, I've heard that there's over 2,200 references in the New Testament to money and to finances. I heard that by a man that was trying to convince people to come to his economic seminar to teach them about how to manage their finances. And I can tell you right now, just by hearing that much of what he said, that man is a thief. How do I determine that? Because Jesus didn't come teaching us how to manage our finances. whenever the New Testament talks about finances and money, he gives us warnings about it, of its dangers. One of the As soon as you began talking about finances, people began to call up and they began to say, well, God told us to be good stewards. Well, every time I read anything about stewardship in the Bible, it has to do with what we're doing with the gospel, not with how we can hoard our money. Stewardship has become a real good covering and a real good coat for covetousness and for loving money. Stewardship covers it up really nice. Oh, I'm just being a good steward with what the Lord has given me. Whenever I began to seek the Lord and I began to read the Bible, let's just turn to Matthew chapter 5. We'll just read a few verses throughout here. I've got a few written down. We won't go to all of them, but just want to give you here in the Beatitudes, the very first one. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. In Luke, it doesn't say spirit, it just says blessed are the poor. Blessed are the poor in spirit. We've often been taught, and almost everyone just takes that to mean, blessed are those who have a poor spirit, who have a real humble spirit. But a poor in spirit person is someone who's just content to be poor, if that's the way it is. Paul said that he had found that he could be content in whatsoever state he found himself in. He was happy. You know, there's times that things are going pretty well for us. It seems as fleshly or materially, be content. Then at other times, it seems that everything that we do, that we don't have anything. We have very little. Learn to be happy and content in that. What the Lord gives us, whether it be good or evil, be happy with it. Serve the Lord in that place. Money is a little bit about like esteem. There's people who have a high esteem and people who have a low esteem of themselves. Both of them are wrong and out of order. We should just have no esteem. It just isn't that important of what people think of us, whether high or low. that's the same thing it is with money. And things of this world, they just shouldn't matter to us. Whether we have some of it or whether we have none of it. It shouldn't matter to us. The danger comes whenever we don't have any. And all we live for is to get more and to get some. Or we have it and we want to hold on to it. Or we want to get more. Instead of it just meaning nothing. Matthew chapter 6. Verse 19. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of evil, or be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body. What ye shall put on, is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment. Turn to Mark chapter 14, verse 4. Here we have this parable of the rich man, the parable of the seed that's planted. And some of the seeds fell among thorns. Jesus comments about them in verse 18, and these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of every other things entering in choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. It chokes the word, and it becometh unfruitful. You know, a lot of people will take a little comfort in that, and they'll say, well, I just won't have much fruit if I live among thorns, and I'll still be there, but I just won't have much fruit. Well, in John, Jesus talks about those who don't bear fruit. They're cut off and cast into the fire. So So don't take any comfort in just being choked out and not producing fruit because of the deceitfulness of riches and the cares of this life. See, you got two sides there. People that are caught up with the cares of this life, they don't have to have any money to be caught up that way. And then there's people seeking the deceitfulness of riches. Well, they're both choked out. I don't get in any of these verses how Jesus is teaching us economics. And as we go through, He's warning us over and over and over again to be careful about these things. To watch, because they creep in. We find ourselves wrapped up in it. Most of the problems a lot of people are in are because they've tried to look out ahead and make their lives better. Make their future better. So that I can be more comfortable when I get older. That's laying up for ourselves treasures on this earth. Whenever you begin to read these things to people, right away people begin to ask and say, well, what is the Lord going to do? Want us just to starve to death? We're just going to freeze out here? I've got a family to take care of. There's a great difference in just taking care of what's right at hand and laying up for ourselves treasures in heaven. He knows that we need shelter. And He knows that we need food. Consider the sparrow. The sparrow builds itself a little nest. The sparrow goes out and works and gains food for itself to eat so that it can provide for its family. What's wrong with just having a simple place to live and providing for ourselves? Not one thing. That's what He's talking about. He doesn't say, go sell what you have and then just go live on a mountain and wait for a bird to come and drop food in your mouth. Paul worked night and day to provide not only for himself, but for those that had needs. That doesn't say go build an empire so that you can feed the world. But you can just work a job and make enough to provide for your family, which the Bible says if you're not willing to do, you're worse than an infidel. See, what we don't want to do, and what's a great danger, is many people will take some of these verses and then just become a burden. So somebody else has to work and take care of them. That's not what God intends for us either. Mark chapter 10. Here we have the parable of the, or not the parable. Mark chapter 10. Here we have the time where the rich young ruler, the rich young man, came up to Jesus. And he asked him what it would take for him to have eternal life. He came running to Jesus, knelt down, and asked him, "What shall I do to inherit eternal life?" We know how Jesus told him to keep the commandments. And he said, "I've done all of that. What more do I like?" Jesus said, "Sell what you have and follow me, and give to the poor. Sell what you have, give to the poor, and follow me." And he was sad because he had great possessions. And he went away grieved. Whenever I began reading the Bible, it wasn't the dark things that we look upon that was separating me from God. The things that we look upon as being dark. When I begin reading the Bible to find out how to get close to God, these verses right here that I'm talking about stood out to me. It seemed as these 2,200 some odd passages in the New Testament seemed like I read one of them every day when I was seeking the Lord. And it wasn't until I came to the place where I said, "Lord, here it is. You can have it." Part of my, this is my testimony. When I was 25 years old, right here in this town, I had almost 30 apartments that I was renting out. My desire was to be a wealthy man. I had a plan and I had a goal. And I was executing that goal. And it was working. As I look back and I see what I had then and what it would be worth now, as far as materially, it would have worked. It would have worked tremendously. More than I even thought it would have at the time. You know, sometimes we see or hear of something that's doubled or tripled or quadrupled in value just overnight, it seems. And you thought, well, boy, if I would have just bought one of those, look how much it would be worth today. And I can look back and I can see what I had then. And I can see what it is worth today. It would have worked. But it's still going to be all burned up. And I can look back and I can see and I can say that I don't want it. I found something much better. I found my place in just being a servant of God. I don't want those things. I don't need those things. And God has taken care of me. He's taken good care of me. I can honestly say whenever there were times that things come upon me that I didn't know how in the world I was going to ever make it. I could just come before God and I say, God, I've given you my resources. I've given you everything. I've given you the ability for me to take care of this that's more than I can take care of now. And you know what? He just did it. He's taken better care of me. I don't even know what to compare it to. My heart is prone to covetousness. My heart is prone to covetousness. And I've got to guard myself from it. I've got to keep on the watch for it continually. I remember one time living in a little trailer house, working and feeding my family. It was about all I could get done. I took on another job, and the man, his dad, went to work for him milking cows after I got off work. Instead of him paying me, I just told him, just every so often, just give me a calf. I was living on a little piece of land that someone was just letting us live on. had a little room there for some calves. And so I started getting a few calves, feeding them. And I got up to 8 or 9 or 10. And I began to think, you know, if I keep doing this, the way I'm doing this, I can trade these for heifers, and they can all have heifers. And I had it figured out when I could have 100 head of cattle and how long it would take me to do it. And I thought, well, if I had 100 head of cattle, I could survive pretty good. And then I remembered, lay not up for yourselves treasures on heaven, you know, on this earth. And I realized what I was doing. I realized just by gathering up these few head of cattle that I was planning on how I was going to have 100 head in a few years. I got rid of them again. I'm prone to covetousness. I'm prone to getting involved in things like that and laying up for myself treasure. Laying up for myself treasure. A few years ago, I opened up a savings account. I decided I'm just going to put so much aside every week so that I can use it to, if something comes up during the year, I can pay my taxes, I can use it to buy an airplane ticket to go somewhere and preach, or I'll do something like that. So I began putting so much aside every week. Before long, I had $2,000 piled up in that account. Just saved. And I thought, well, this is working pretty good. If I keep going, just at the rate I'm laying this up, which wasn't that much, in a few years, that'll be a pretty good little pile right there. Probably enough that I can live on for a while. I went and closed the account. Withdrew it all. Close the account. My heart is prone to covetousness. If I got a place to live, I can provide some food and I can give away the rest. It doesn't mean just stay back and don't work. There's people that need help. There's a lot to be done. And it takes money to do it. But beware of laying up treasures for yourself. The The Bible is full of warnings about it. One man challenged and said, well, he didn't think the covering was very important because the covering was only mentioned one time in the Bible. You know why it was mentioned one time? It's because people were doing it. There wasn't a problem with it. It was just so plain that that's what was supposed to be done. People put it on, and that was it. Covetousness is warned about over and over and over again because it's something that's going to attack us. And it's something that we got to keep our guard up for continually. I appreciate that we don't have a big pile of money here. I just don't understand. I was in a church the other day, and they had to keep their little record. They got a little thing in the front that tells the attendance and the offering and how much is in the balance. I don't know this little church. Maybe there's 30 people go to that church. Down in the bottom corner, I think it said $11,500 and some dollars piled up. Just sitting there in a savings account. Beware of covetousness. Beware of covetousness. We can get so comfortable. In this world, that it just lulled to sleep. Or we can be so caught up in it that we can't do nothing else. Seems today that churches have completely forgotten what Jesus talked about when he was talking about wealth and acquiring wealth. Church people, whether they be plain or worldly, are some of the wealthiest people in the world. And on average, I remember one time I went to visit a group of churches north of Kansas City. And as I drove out of Kansas City, I just began to observing the houses there. Just plain, simple farmhouses. And I drove for an hour. And I just saw all these simple farmhouses. And as I began to near this community where these people had moved, I began to see new houses that were not just simple farmhouses. They were about twice as big as the simple farmhouses. Had every little thing in order, and they were nice houses. And I drove around that whole community there where these people lived. And I could pick out the church people that they had moved into just a few years ago, setting up an expansion, but I could pick out almost every one of them. Because they went in there and moved and built houses twice as big as the common house, common simple house. Thinking because they kept a few of Christ's teachings that they were really doing something. I remember one time, one of my first trips that I made, I went to Africa. And four churches went together to help send a few of us to Africa. One time a year to go to Africa and visit a few of the people that were doing some Bible studies there. And as I begin to listen to, there was four of us, and I began to understand that there was four churches that had gone together. Four big churches that had gone together, and this was their primary mission. Their primary outreach. And I heard the man that was organizing all of this talk about it, and he said, "I don't know whether we're going to be able to go next year because we just can't get the money to do it." Four men, one trip to Africa. Spent 10 days. Four huge churches. Probably had 20 families per church. And I'll guarantee you, 10 of those families lived in $100,000 to $200,000 homes. But they just couldn't find the money and complained like crazy about spending all this money on this mission trip to Africa. That wouldn't have cost half of what their pickups would have cost. Just this one trip wouldn't even have paid for half of one of their trucks. But they were finding it hard to justify sending that much money there. That's covetous. There's a church right here in town. A man was complaining to me the other day. He said it takes $10,000 a week just to keep thing running, to keep all their programs going. And he said, do you know what they spent on missions last year? Overseas missions? $2,000. And he was upset about it. Whenever the Bible talks about laying up our treasures in heaven, he's not talking about piling up a bunch of money up there. He's not talking about, well, let's just give it away here so we can, instead of putting it in the bank here, let's put it in the bank in heaven. It's not about the money. It's about where your heart is. Little booklet I read. It was about covetousness. About how instead of just giving our money and spending it on ourselves or saving it, that we should be giving it to all these things. So that we can be sending it ahead. That's not what it's about either. We're here as servants. And we can't serve God and mammon. We can't serve God and things. In this life or in the next. Putting money and giving it away just so we think we're laying it up in heaven, that's not what he's talking about. It's not about the money. The money is the danger. It means nothing. It's a means of being able to help people, being able to serve. It's not you give a dollar and you're laying up $100 in heaven. The motive is still the same there. It's still selfish. It's laying up for our treasures up there with dollars, thinking that they can be bought with dollars. That's not what it's about. about how we can become servants. Sometimes as we go through this life, it takes money to be a servant. And it takes money to serve. But if our goal is simply to lay it all up for ourselves in heaven and thinking that by giving away, we're just going to be piling it up in heaven, we've missed the whole thing. It's not about the things that we have. It's what we are. And the things that we have can affect what we are and who we are. If we let them. Beware. Of covetousness. Beware of a heart of covetousness. You know, some of the richest men in this world, people with billions of dollars, you know what they want? You know what they're looking for? More. A person could, I don't think a person just buying, I don't think you could spend $1 billion. Just for things for yourself. But still they want more. And you know, if a covetous person gets into heaven where the very streets are paved with gold, you know what they're going to want? They're going to want more. A covetous person won't fit into heaven. Beware. May the Lord add His blessings to His words. Father, we thank You for Your goodness and for Your mercy. We thank You for the grace of God that teaches us these things, Father, that warns us and shows us how to prepare ourselves to be servants, how to prepare ourselves to be like You. Just thank You for Your goodness to us. We ask Your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to just kind of help clear up just a little bit of a thought. If we lose our life, we'll find it. But if we find our life, we'll lose it. If your goal is happiness, and you set about to find happiness, you'll lose it. If that's your goal. You may find it in this life, but you'll lose it in eternal life. What you'll find if you set out to serve and to serve God, you may lose some happiness in this world. that you'll eventually find happiness, what the world's seeking after. And it's the same with riches, like Brother Kevin brought out. Those people that the Lord rewarded, when did we do that? They weren't seeking the reward. But rewards will be heaped upon them. They lost their desire to look for reward. They humbled themselves and became servants. And lo and behold, rewards will be heaped upon them. But if you're there seeking for it, they might find a few rewards, but they'll lose them in eternity.